Johnny shook his head at himself. This was not the time to be doing crazy, reckless things. He had almost done exactly what he had warned Stormy not to do, go visiting. The old relic he was flying had become heated from air friction. It was built to take it, but he had come up for a cool breath of air, and now the flight deck was hot. If he'd really wanted to go up there, he would have taken just an ordinary battle plane, making sure its gaskets were tight around the doors, and making sure its guns were loaded and working. Sir Robert would not have been proud of him. Another blip on his view screens, down low at about 100,000 feet of altitude. Coming on a route from Scotland? America over the pole? Warm cabin or no cabin, he streaked down to intercept and identify. He flipped on his local command channel, and just as he did so, a voice from the nearby plane came through.
"Don't shoot. I'll marry your daughter."
It was Dunnell Dean. Johnny laughed. It was the first time he had laughed since returning from America. He spun the old relic around and flashed after Dunnell Dean as the Scot roared down toward the mine site. 4. The small gray man in his small gray cabin was sighing patiently. Well, not too patiently. His indigestion had not improved at all, and now this. Things were distressing enough without the military people getting into fights among themselves. But it was a military matter, not political, not economic, and not strategic. So he was perforce out of it, a mere observer. He now had 4 faces on his separate view screens, and if it kept on going this way, he'd have to ask his communications officer to break more screens out of stores and put them in on a rack. It made one's office so cluttered. The face of the Tallnep half-captain was quite angry-looking, and he kept adjusting his glasses in an agitated way.
"But I don't care if you were surprised to see me here. I have no advices at all that our nations are at war."
The Hawvin's face was the light violet Hawvin's got when they were very provoked. The square helmet was crushed down on his oval head, bending his ear antennae. His untoothed but blade-gummed mouth was distorted in the lifted attitude of biting.
"How would you know who was at war and who wasn't at war? You cannot be less than 5 months out from any base."
The Hockner super-lieutenant who commanded the star-shaped craft looked a little supercilious with his monocle and excessive amount of gold braid. The long, noseless face portrayed what passed for disdain among his people in the Duraleb system. The bull bod was just plain plug ugly, as they always were, bigger than cyclos, but sort of shapeless. One wondered how they ever handled anything at all. Their hands were always clenched into fists. The high sweater neck almost met the bill of his exaggerated cap. The bulbods considered insignia beneath their dignity, but the small gray man knew he was gang leader Poundon, commanding the cylinder-shaped spacecraft. He certainly had a low opinion of all the rest as effete degenerates.
"All right," snapped the Tallnep. "Are our races at war or aren't they?"
The Hawvin said.
"I don't have any information that they are or aren't, but that doesn't mean that they aren't. It would not be the first time a Hawvin ship came peacefully onto station, only to be raked by a sneaking Tallnep."
"Your Excellency,"
snapped the Tallnep, suddenly including the small gray man,
"do you have any information that the Tallneps and Hawvins are at war?"
It was a military matter, but this could fringe on the political. "The courier ship that met me here did not mention it," he said tiredly. Maybe one of the crew had some different brand of indigestion tablets. No, he didn't think they would. Mellow jest was all that was sold these days. He wished they'd stop wrangling.
"You see,"
hissed the Tallnep half-captain,
"no war exists. Yet you come in here denting my plates in an unprovoked assault."
"Did I really dent your plates?"
said the Hawvin, abruptly interested.
"Here," said the Hockner super-lieutenant. "Here now."
You are both completely off the subject of the strange interceptor. If you two fellows want to draw off somewhere and batter away at each other, that's your business, isn't it? But who and what was that interceptor? The Balbod snorted. Couldn't be anything but Cyclo. I know, old fellow, said the Hawkner, adjusting his monocle. But I've looked it up, and it isn't listed under Cyclo Military Craft. He held a recognition book to the screen. Known types of Cyclo warcraft. It was, of course, in Cyclo. All of them spoke Cyclo, and the whole of their cross-communication was in Cyclo, since they didn't speak each other's native tongues.
It isn't listed here.
The Hawven was glad to drop the subject of his attack on the Tallnep, no matter how surprised he'd been to find a Tallnep ship here.
I've never seen one like it.
The Balbod was more practical.
Why did it veer away the moment you stopped shooting?
They pondered that for a while. Then the Hawkner adjusted his monocle and said,
I rather think I have it. He supposed that our attention would be distracted, and that this, he snorted, battle would knock out some of us and he'd be able to mop up the damaged remainder.
They talked about this for a while. The small gray man listened politely to their military theories. It was none of his concern. They finally came to the conclusion that that was what it was all about. The interceptor had come up, ready to take advantage of the battle and destroy the remainder left over when they were in a damaged condition.
I think they must be very clever, said the Hawkner. Probably they have other interceptors here, and they're ready and waiting. I could have eaten that one with one bite, said the Hawven.
I could have knocked it out with one punch, said the Balbod. If they were strong, they would have come up here and smashed us up some days ago. I don't think they're Cyclos, and I never before heard of any race that had that torch insignia. So I say they are very weak. I don't know why we just don't go down and wipe them out as a combined force.
A combined force was a brand new idea. The three others had always considered Balbods rather stupid, if strong, and they looked at him on their view screens with a dawning respect.
We've never, any of us, said the Hawkner, made any real dent in the Cyclos. But it does seem to me that they are not really Cyclos, strange ship, strange insignia. So possibly it would just be an afternoon's work to go down as a combined force.
Knock them out and divide the loot,
finished the Tallnep. This was verging on the political, so the small gray man said,
And what if they are the one?
This was what they were here to determine. They chewed it over. They finally came to a unanimous conclusion. They would operate as a combined force. Any newcomer would be invited. They would wait for the return of the courier ship the small gray man had sent out, even though it might not return for months. If it brought news that the one had been found elsewhere, this combined force would go down, knock the planet out, and divide the loot among them to recompense them for their time. They didn't lay out any system for dividing the loot, for each had his own ideas of what would happen when that moment came. The plan was agreed to.
What if something happens in the meanwhile to prove it is the one?
The small gray man asked.
Violence, violence. All these military people ever thought about was violence and death.
Well, they decided, that was sort of political, and they would play it by ear. But also, if it were the one, probably it ought to be knocked out, so the same plan applied. It was the first time the small gray man had ever seen independent commanders of traditionally hostile ships reach a firm agreement on something. But these were very unusual times. When they clicked off their view screens, the small gray man reached for another pill of Mellowjest to help his indigestion and then put it back in the bottle. He thought he'd go down and visit that old woman again. Maybe she had an antidote for Yarb tea.